I said we're in chapter, finishing up chapter 18, starting with verse 21. Hope to finish this chapter today and possibly finish chapter 19. We're just about two-thirds of the way through the book of Proverbs. Remember, our intent was to get God's mindset, our mindset, so that we could understand how He wants us to answer the problems that we face on a daily basis here on earth, rather than on the worldly ways of answering problems here on earth. And we know in some cases there's a dramatic difference in the way we respond and the way God would have us respond. So we pick it up in verse 21 this morning of 18. It says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Up to this point, many times, Proverbs has spoken about the tongue, controlling the tongue. Be slow to speak, long time listening, slow to speak. This is another one of those Proverbs that backs up that. It's repeated many times because God wants us to have this part of His mindset, that we do speak after we've pondered over it quite a bit, and only after we've pondered over it quite a bit. Remember, we said you have two eyes to see, you have two ears to hear, you only have one mouth. And what comes out of that mouth can be powerful and important, that it could be life or death. You could say the wrong thing at the wrong time, and somebody will take your life for it in a heartbeat. So we've got to be mindful of that. And if we use it recklessly, we're going to get ourselves in trouble. Basically, to summarize what he's saying is, one should not fall in love with talking too much. Don't fall in love with talking too much. And there were proverbs on even that point of being someone who wants to talk all the time. Talk all the time. Anybody got any comments on that proverb? Yeah, Kathy?
Speaking of talking a lot, I was reading the book that you guys studied last time, and I love those books that you study in men's class. But anyway, that one chapter that says, so many folks just want to be heard. You know, our lives are so busy anymore that people fall in the cracks. And they just want to be heard. That little proverb of the frog that old farmer found under a bush. And the little frog said, "Kiss me and you'll have everything you want, your heart's desire." And the farmer put the frog in his pocket. She said, "Wait a minute, didn't you hear? I said, if you kiss me, you'll have all your heart's desire." And the old farmer says, "At my age, I just need somebody to talk to. I just need somebody to listen to me." Because that's the way the world is. People are lonely for conversation, not text, not, you know, just one-on-one. Let me see your face. Let me see your expressions. Let me know what's going on in your life. And I understand that's not always easy to do. But that's why it's so important. My husband reminds me many times, make sure you're saying what the Lord wants you to say. Mm-hmm. Make sure you're encouraging. Make sure you're not cutting down. Make sure of all those things. And so it's like you said, you may have two eyes and two ears, but that tongue is like a thousand snakes coming out if you don't watch out.
Mm-hmm. You can, we often forget that everybody's life story to them is just as important as yours is to you.
Yeah.
And they do want to have a chance to speak. Again, I'll go back and quote that old saying in the De Serrata, be tolerant of the dull and ignorant, for they too have a story to tell.
Right.
We may deem them to be dull and ignorant, but they've got a story to tell. Okay, that's good. Number 22. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and obtain the favor from Jehovah. This is often used in weddings. I've heard it repeated many times at weddings. that God wants you to find a good wife, and He wants you to have a happy marriage. And if you do, then of course you'll find favor in Him, and He'll bless you for it. Anybody got any thoughts on that? Some of these proverbs are so plain and simple, they don't really need an explanation. Number 23. The poor useth entreaties, but the rich answereth roughly. It's a truism that should not exist between people. It's really pointing out discrimination. When the poor person wants something, he has to almost plead for it to get it. When a rich person wants something, they can be talked roughly to whoever has it, because they know that their money will buy the product or whatever favor they want from them. It's just a truism in life, and that's the way it is. So often, poor have to plead to get a bargain, where the rough guy, or the rich person will demand a bargain.
It's a good lesson we learned in that.
Negotiate from
power.
Yeah.
No matter whether you have it.
Yeah, that's right. That's the truism, too. If you don't have it, they think you might have it. That's why that goes back to if you don't speak, you'll think you're wise. So use your words wisely and don't speak that much. And if you don't tell them you're poor, then they may never know you're poor.
Last vehicle I went to buy, they got kind of exasperated with me. Said, "Mr. Radcliffe, you realize this is a negotiation, don't you?" I said, "No." I said, "You what you don't realize is you want to sell that car, I don't have to buy it."
There you go. Also, you got a good deal. But this verse reminds me of the rich man and Lazarus story, mm-hmm. Doesn't it?
That's true.
It really does. It hits it right on the head.
The most powerful thing you can do, by the way, when you want to buy something, is of particularly of great value, is be willing to get up and walk out of that store and say that I don't like your deal. And they won't let you out. Mm-hmm. They'll bar the door. They'll lock the door. They won't do anything they can to keep you there talking. They don't want to let you out of there.
The whole time this guy coming, they keep coming back. It's funny. I'm sorry. My wife is there with me, and every time her mouth drops, and she kicks me under the table.
So shop, shop. Okay. Anybody have any comments on that proverb? We're in Proverbs 19, verse 24 at this time. 18:24. Thanks for the correction, Amy. Thanks for the correction. 18:24. He that maketh many friends doeth it to his own destruction, but there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You can make too many friends. You can make false friends. You remember the prodigal son? When he went off and spent all his money, he had a lot of false friends out there until he ran out of money.
Yep.
And when he ran out of money, they wouldn't even give him anything to eat. So you can make false friends if you get too many friends. So you need to be careful. And again, we've had many proverbs on choose your friends wisely. Mm-hmm. Particularly choose your children's friends wisely, that they don't be led astray for the rest of their life.
I wonder if the writer wasn't thinking about David and Jonathan.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good example of that. There are many examples in the Bible. Choose your friends wisely. Even Job found that his friends weren't so good friends to him. You know, they deserted him in the end. Any comments on that? It finishes this chapter of 18, and so we're going to start off in Proverbs 19 now. Again, reminding you that we're getting about 2/3 way through this book, so there should be a lot of wisdom gained up to this point. Number one, chapter 19. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. It's better to be a poor man who lives virtuously than a sinner who is rich. Again, a repetition of the problems that we've had up to this point. Don't associate. Don't become friends with those people that have caused you to lose integrity. Even if you have to eat poorly. Number two. Also that he, that the soul be without knowledge is not good. And he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. That could also be read, and I'm scratching some words here. Also that the soul be without wisdom is not good, because knowledge is a part of your wisdom. And he that hasteth to his feet, he decides too quickly. You're too quick to do things. You will make bad decisions. Think about your decisions. Think about God, how God would want you to do these things. Don't act too hastily. Go with the Proverbs where it says, seek counsel always. Always. Yeah.
Enthusiasm without knowledge is not good. If you act too quickly, you make a mistake.
There you go. In other words, and it's good to repeat these things in your mind, by the way. You'll memorize them better. If you put them in your own words rather than strictly the way they repeat it here, it's all part of wisdom, gaining wisdom, to be able to repeat this in your mind so it becomes part of your mindset. Number three, the foolishness of man subverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against Jehovah. Foolishness will always get us in trouble, and then when we get in trouble, many of us want to blame God for the trouble we're in. And why are you doing this to me, God? Why'd you let this happen to me? But it's foolishness to get you into it. God will correct you, but he didn't cause you to get in that trouble. Number four, wealth addeth many friends, but the poor is separated from his friend. A truism in life. Not saying that the many friends you get by being wealthy are good friends. But it is a truism. It happens in life. It's just stating a fact here. Basically saying with verse 14, chapter 14, 20, if you want to turn back there, it's almost a repeat of what that proverb says. Number five. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that utters lies shall not escape. God knows it all. He knows everything that's happening. He'll seek his judgment. It's not us to get judgment on him, but he won't let him go unpunished. And God hates all lies, not just little lies, big lies, but all lies. Number six, many will entreat the favor of a liberal man, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. I'm going to give you a good example of that in today's language. How many times have you been asked to donate to this cause, this party, that party? And once you do, you'll get a bunch of parties calling you that want to donate. You'll get all kinds of friends out there want you to donate. Want you to help them in, you want to help them there. Once you open that door, you better be prepared, because they're going to come from everywhere. I even think now that somewhere on Facebook, that artificial intelligence is gathering information on you, and when you do it to one, the word goes out to many others, and you start getting them from all kinds of directions. Do this, do that, buy this, buy that. So you got to be careful when you answer those. Number six, many will entreat the favor of a liberal man, That's the one we just had. Mm-hmm. All right, number 7. All the brethren of the poor do hate him. How much more do his friends go far away from him? I think the word hate here might be a little strong. I would think more would be fit. All the brethren of the poor avoid him. They try to avoid him because they know he's in need and they know he might be asking for their help. So a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them will just avoid him because they know his need. But how much more do his friends go far from him, again, trying to get away from lending the money or getting him out of a bind or whatever he has a need for. Number 8. He that giveth wisdom loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good. To get wisdom is good for yourself. It's good to the point that you ought to love to have wisdom, because it's going to make a better life for your soul. It's going to make a more God-pleasing soul to have the wisdom that God wants you to have. And if you get understanding, it's what we always say, when to say understanding, it means common sense. He that gets common sense shall find good. He'll make better decisions. He'll make better decisions in his life. Where's all this wisdom we got in this class? I know you're smart. I know you're smart. Anybody got any thoughts or comments on that? Number 9. A false witness shall not go unpunished, and he that uttereth lies shall perish. This is almost an exact comment from verse 5. Go back to verse 5 and just see what it says. The first 5. A false witness shall, basically verbatim. And you say, well, why did God do that? Why did he wants you to put this in your memory bank? Don't go before and attest to anything that you know is a lie. Don't do that. You're subverting justice when you do that. You're subverting justice. Again, if you do lie, then you'll perish because of it.
It also keeps reminding us that that tongue has that power, and you know, there's life and death in the power of the tongue. Mm-hmm. So again, like you say, repetitions telling you you can even live by what you do, by what you say, or you can die by what you say.
It makes you wonder how many people are in prison wrongly because someone told a lie. Mm-hmm. Told a lie. They spend years and years sometimes in prison because someone told a lie. See, that's not justice. That's not what God wants. That's not justice.
Those kind of verses always make me wonder because, I mean, when I read it when I was a child, you know, liars die. I don't want to lie because I don't want to die. We all die. Same result. Be honest all your life. Your fate's the same as a liar. You're going to die.
But you won't die eternally. And that's what we're all concerned about. Where are we going to spend eternity?
And there's the other rub, too. If it's not that, you know, same fate lies for all men, the honest and the wicked, the liar and one that tells the truth. And how many times do we see it? People get punished for telling the truth.
Mm-hmm. That's true. But just only up to the truth.
You're punished. If there's more to it,
yeah,
than what we have here.
Mm-hmm. For sure, for sure.
That rich man and Lazarus found out.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Because they both died. But one is in being comforted, and the other one is in torment.
And that's where our hope is. Our hope is in eternity, a place with God. We don't have to tolerate some of these things. Just like he said, you die from telling the truth, but your soul is where we hope to be with God. Number 10.
Well, Christ died for telling the truth.
Sure.
And he not only, quote unquote, we know that he died, but he suffered for telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Suffered greatly. And again, we thank God for the gift of his son. And I'm encouraged by the fact that our Savior was a man who walked the earth, who knows about our condition as humans, but yet was brave enough, courageous enough, loving enough, righteous enough to do what only he could do. And he was willing to do it because he wanted to please his Father. And we receive the benefit of that blessing every day.
Perhaps the day isn't the time, the day is quickly coming when confessing that Jesus Christ is your Savior will cost you your life. I think in one of those school shootings they had many years ago, a little girl was asked that. And she said she affirmed that she believed Jesus and she got killed because of it. So, and we were reminded. One of the purposes we're here this morning is that we're reminded of the consequences of Jesus telling the truth. He died for us.
You can look back at that time. All Christians had to do to avoid being murdered in the circus was deny Jesus.
They were fed to the lions. What emperor was that? That was the most
Nero.
Was the most cruel one of all.
He burned it. He burned Rome and then blamed the Christians for it.
Yeah.
And all they had to do was deny Christ, and then they were not found not guilty.
Makes us appreciate when we commune with the Lord, Lord's Supper, daily, as weekly. Number 10. Delicate living is not seemly for a fool, much less for a servant to have rule over princes. It's not the way things should be. Sometimes it is this way, but not the way things should be. In Acts 23:27-33, Felix, you know, avoided persecuting or crucifying or putting to death Paul. And so he called for kinfolks, Claudius, to come and have authority over him so that he would be out of that bind that he was in. So Felix shouldn't have been in the place of making, having authority anyway if he didn't know how to exercise authority. Just tells you what type of person he was. Number 11. The discretion of a man maketh him slow to anger, and is his glory to pass over transgression. Discretion, you know, going back into our facets of wisdom, is the ability to choose wisely. So what we're saying here, the ability of a man to choose wisely will make him slow to go to anger real quickly. And it's his glory to pass over transgression. Don't walk around with a chip on your shoulder looking for a fight or looking for a reason to get in conflict with anybody. Wise men never carry a chip on their shoulder and are not easily insulted. Not easily insulted. You know, in James 1:19 it says, swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Number 12, the king's wrath is as a roaring of a lion, but his favor is as dew upon the grass. Back in our Old Testament views of kings, there's some ruthless kings back in those areas, and you didn't want to have their disfavor. You did not want to be in conflict with them. But if you were one of his chosen few, that he had then you had a good life. But if you were not one of his chosen few, then he was like a lion to you. He was going to hurt you. He was going to make it rough for you. Maybe to the point of even killing you. Number 13, a foolish son is a calamity of his father, and a contention, and the contentions of a wife are continual dropping. Two different comparisons. We've had many of them thus far on foolish sons who are an embarrassment to their father, a shame to their father. And this is one of the few where we're going to start picking up. Where a nagging woman, a nagging wife, is like dripping water. Or a nagging husband is like dripping water. Comments?
Well, the NIV renders that this way. A foolish son is his father's ruin, and a quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping.
Yeah. Just another way of putting that. We're going to get onto that quarrelsome wife thing here. Some more Proverbs coming up, future chapters. Yeah.
It's just warning us men to be careful what we do to them. You know? Be very, very careful.
Tell them, don't hit him. Why is it here, Barbara? Don't hit him, please. Number 14. House and riches are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from Jehovah. A prudent wife is from God. A prudent wife is one that God wants you to have as a gift to you. You can inherit things from your father, but you can't inherit a prudent wife. Number 15, slothfulness. Going back to this lazy person, we've heard this repeated over and over again, lazy people. Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and the idle soul shall suffer hunger. You can be so lazy that you won't even lift food up to your mouth. That has to be ridiculous. An idle soul shall suffer hunger. It will not be fed what it needs to prosper and to please God. Number 16, he that keepeth the commandments keepeth his soul, but he that is careless in his ways shall die. Keeping God's commandments will live longer. We know that the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom, will also add length to your life. He is careless in his ways. He is foolish in his ways. We use that word fool all through Proverbs. Death awaits him. Both the first and second death awaits him. Number 17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto Jehovah, and his good deed will he pay him again. Can you imagine lending something to God Almighty? Be good to the poor. Be merciful to the poor. And God will pay you back. Yeah,
you got it. Think of the verse that the Lord had told them, the people, that the poor you will always have, but me you won't. And so, you know, no matter what we do, we'll always have a job. And that's being kind to the poor. Mm-hmm. Even if, you know, I wouldn't lend anything, I'd say to give it to them, but still the idea that there'll always be poor folk on the world is kind of sad.
Of course, we'll always be indebted to God. We can't imagine giving him anything when we can't give him anything he doesn't already have. But basically it says it pleases God to no end that you be kind to the poor people in Israel. That's what Jesus came down for, to reach out to the poor and lost. Number 18.
Jared?
Yes, sir.
Matthew 25:40-45. The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine,
you did to me."
Consider that.
Enough.
Consider that. And that, what a beautiful thought. And when you talk about the king, and here in America, it's hard for us to really grasp that concept, if you will, of what a king's authority is and has over the realm. When we were in England, we found out that that all the swans in England belong to Her Majesty. Well, now they belong to King Charles. All the swans. So could you imagine that someone coming to her and bringing a baby swan as a gift to her? Sure, he knows where it came from. They all belong to me. So it's the same with our God. Everything that we think we own belongs to Him. Our gift to Him is what we do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And we seem to take that for granted.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of copped his attitude, what he owes me. Shame on me.
Mm-hmm.
And we owe him everything.
Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, he's pleased that we have that attitude of taking care of those that he's here for, that he wants. It's part of his. Number 18. Chasten thy son, seeing there is hope, and set not thy heart on his destruction. Again, remind us, while they're old enough to be taught by being corrected, needed correction, we're to do that, but not do it to the extreme that it destroys it. And that kind of goes back to Ephesians 6:4, where it says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." Just punishment is what they're talking about here. Give them quickly just punishment, but don't give them extreme punishment to the part that you cause wrath on. They know they're being punished unfairly. We have to, and I think we point this out, if there's one thing that has led this world to the point that it is not, we have not corrected our youth as God taught us to while they were yet young. And then when they get your size or bigger, you can't do that anymore. Another way of putting that thing is, it's better to have tears in their eyes from correction when they're young than they have tears in your eyes for their correction when they get old. Number 19, a man of great wealth shall shall bear the penalty, for if thou deliver him, thou must do it over and over again. If a man has a violent temper, if you have a friend with a violent temper, you'll see that he'll probably get punished for that violent temper over and over, but he'll do it again. And if you deliver him from that without him getting the punishment for it, then he'll just keep doing it over again. There's no penalty for the crime. Then there's no correction of the crime. Number 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction. Again, we're God reminds us. Listen, and get instructions. Accept correction. That's what another word for instructions are in Proverbs, is correction. Accept the correction that's coming your way, that you may be wise in thy latter end, that you may be wise in your old age. Accept correction. But hear, talk about it. Find out what you did wrong. Listen to it. Accept what the punishment is, that you may be wiser as you get older. There are many devices in a man's heart, but the counsel of God shall stand. A man has many things he wants to do his own will about. We want to do it our way. We want to do it our way. But it's always God's will be done. God's will be done. Sometimes we pray fervently for our will to come about, our will to be accomplished, when God knows better. He says, no, that's not the answer. That's not the answer. Then we have to accept that.
Jonah found out.
Huh?
Jonah found out.
That's right, he did. With the verse, heaven and earth shall pass away, the Lord says, but my word will not pass away. Number 22. That which maketh a man be desired in his kindness is his kindness, and the poor man is better than a liar. Completely different positives here. I don't know how they're related, but the author chose to put them here. Both of them are truisms. That which maketh a man to be desired is his kindness to others. People notice that. They want to be around a man like that. And a poor man is always better than a liar. A poor man is better than a liar. I don't know how you could explain that.
I got a thought on that, Jerry.
All right.
As far as the poor man is better than a liar, because I've heard people who have told a lie, and when you talked about it earlier, you talk about a lie in the sense how it affects the person that was lied on. But the liar themselves, you know, when they say it's eating at my conscience, they lose the quality of life because it's eating at their conscience. And I've heard people say, well, when I said it or I confessed it, I felt better. I had a weight lifted off my shoulder. So for a poor man to be poor, he knows where he is honestly. He's okay. He's content. As Paul tells us, be content in all things. Whereas a liar, he's knowing that he has told something that wasn't true, and it's eating at him. And he's living in a darkness that has not been shed to light yet. I'm poor. I know I'm poor. And everybody can see it. Whereas a liar is living in darkness, and no one knows that he told that lie but himself.
I hadn't thought of it that way, but that's a good reply to that.
When we suffer, like we talked about, like with other things, when it affects others, and when you tell a lie, you have to either live up to it or continue with it, and it affects others because you're trying to keep that story going to keep others in that place of comfortability, I guess, so they know that, oh, things are okay or they're not okay or whatever circumstances are.
What Joel said, one lie begets many other lies to prove your point.
Right.
You have to keep on lying.
Omission. Yeah. You know, some people say, I told a little white lie or I omitted things.
Yeah.
Either way, it still puts you in a bad place.
Okay. Number 23. We get close to the end here. The fear of Jehovah tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. When we're talking about evil here, he will not be visited with eternal death. Evil is everywhere. But the fear of Jehovah is the beginning of wisdom. We know that. It was the first thing we read when we started Proverbs. Wisdom, we know, extends life. If you gain godly wisdom, you gain years to your life. So that's abiding and living satisfied, and you'll not have evil. still called you to die. I'm going to stop it right there. We're about to end this class. I have people coming in. We'll pick this up next week at that point. And appreciate y'all being in class. We have a good class. I can tell wisdom is being gotten.